Welcome to part two to our interview with Sister Zora Sawari, who continues to tell us about her secret to productivity and achieving success. So listen in. So I'll repeat the question again. So how do you keep focused and determined, when people lose, when somebody lose focus and determination in the whatever you were trying to do, how do you keep focused?
I would say always have the end in mind. Don't have, you know, today in mind, tomorrow. You're going to need to take small steps to get to the end, but always have the end in mind. And the end in mind for me personally was to pleasing Allah. Mm-hmm. If we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, I mean, you have to keep walking towards that path. Jannah must be won. Jannah isn't given to us. It must be won. So you have to think of it. Okay, I want to win Jannah. Do I have to use my time wisely? Do I have to watch my tongue? You have to make sure everything that you're doing is in accordance to what Allah is expecting from us. And we're not perfect. We're going to make lots of mistakes. And when the mistakes happen, obviously, that's when we go and we pray and we beg Allah for forgiveness. Or we just beg Allah for forgiveness at any time of the day, obviously. But, you know, continuing to coming and remembering that it's Jannah that we want and that this life is so short. And how will we achieve Jannah? So one of the biggest things that keeps me focused is thinking on the Day of Judgment, that if you know, I am risen and I do get to see the Prophet ﷺ, that I want the Prophet ﷺ to be proud of me as a Muslimah. Mm-hmm. That what did I do in dunya, that, you know, that he went through so much for us and that I was able to actually do something 1400 years after what he did. Mm-hmm. And to be so happy and to be passionate about it. And so that's, you know, besides, of course, Allah is my first most important. It's most important to please Allah first, but I always imagine that going up to the Rasulullah and having that love and for him to have that love in return for me, to know that it was, you know, Islam that determined and pushed me to do what I'm doing.
Alhamdulillah, that's brilliant. I mean, so what do you think the ingredients of a productive Muslimah is then? So if you had a little recipe for someone to be productive and for them to, as I said, make use of their time. Because a lot of time people just waste time. And I've seen it many, many times. People don't realize their potential, don't realize they can self-develop, don't realize, you know, they just think they can just, they'll just follow this path of going to uni, then graduating, going to 9-to-5 job, and then just living like, you know, zombies, basically. So what are the ingredients for someone who's productive and someone who really makes a difference in the ummah and really gives back to the ummah? What's the ingredients?
I would say they have to find their passion first. What is it that they're passionate about doing? And when they know, when they have, there's six things that in life that a human usually craves for. I mean, they crave for obviously leaving a legacy. And not leaving a legacy as our name or something, but leaving a legacy, inshallah, ta'ala, for the, you know, to be able to, something to help us in the grave. They crave for having status. And again, the status is not for dunya. The status is to say that we worked hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something with our life. They crave for love. They, you know, to be able to be loved and love others. But all of these things, as well as, you know, being timely on it, you have to see your life as what you want it to be, inshallah. A lot of times, exactly what you said, people just kind of fall into life and they don't map it out. So I asked people, I said, if you were to go from America to the UK, would you just sit on a car and just start driving? Or would you need a roadmap?
Exactly.
Or would you need, and maybe that car might not take you. You might need to take a plane or a boat. You have to find a map, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, why aren't we making a map for our lives, inshallah? And the map shouldn't be so I'm going to live to 100. This one. The map should be enough where you have goals and every day you're working towards them. And yet, should you die, you know you did your best. And you pray that Allah accepts it. So we kind of need to make that map, and that map will go around all of our passions in our lives. So our passions as a daughter, as a mother, as a wife, what do we love to do? I love to be out there doing dawah. One of my favorite things in this world is to go out there and talk to non-Muslims about Islam. I love it. But I'm doing it in such a way that people want to listen to it. For example, with my book, No, I'm Not a Terrorist, it's getting so much media because of the title. And the title alone is just bringing all this media, mashallah. And really, what is it? It's just bringing the beauty of Islam out. And I tell them, this is the truth of Islam. This is what Islam stands for. But because I'm so passionate about it and I love doing it, people want to listen to it. And mashallah, the colleges paid me anywhere from $3,500 to $5,000 for 1 hour to just talk about dawah.
That's good.
It doesn't get better than this. They pay you to talk, alhamdulillah.
About Islam.
That's right. Exactly. And the thing is, you know, again, if they find their passion and they build on it, inshallah, that is going to be what's going to drive them. because now they have a purpose to their life. And again, the book 9 Steps to Achieve Your Destiny has activities, exercises at the end of every chapter to help anyone who's going through this mm-hmm. to get to... It's those 9 steps that, to me personally, can help you achieve anyone's destiny. And Dr. Bilal Phillips has read the book, who's you know, one of the great scholars of our time. Muhammad al-Sharif has read the book, mashallah. And many of these people have read it, and they can attest that it is a book, inshallah, ta'ala, that can, not only is it halal, but it can hopefully get you to that next level, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So describe a typical day for Zuhra Sawari.
I love that.
Because sometimes I always wonder, is there like a little thing you do during the day that keeps you always productive? Because sometimes it's easy for you to slip into, anyone to slip into like laziness, not being productive. So describe a typical day that, you know, that keeps you focused, or anything you do to help you keep you focused. And, you know, do you ever take a break? I mean, someone might ask you that question. Do you ever take a break?
Absolutely, I do. Breaks are important. My breaks is at usually 6 to 7 p.m. to go outside and play with my kids at the park and ride bikes with them. That's my break time personally. But my typical day would start usually about 5 in the morning. I get up. It's time to do tajud. My daughter gets up. My husband gets up. We all pray together. After prayer, I come on, turn on the computer, and I have my list. I have a to-do list, and I do my to-do list. I start working on what do I need to get done. And I look at, because my sons are still sleeping, my daughter starts to do some math with her dad, because math has been a subject with her dad. And so I start to come on and do some productivity on the computer because I'm wide awake. Soon after that, it's Fajr prayer. Mashallah, we do Fajr prayer. And then the day starts. My daughter is being homeschooled. So I basically give her agenda. I go through what her questions are, what information, what subject she has to do. And if she has questions, she asks me. About 7 o'clock, 7:15, I usually start practicing for Quran. I'm learning how to read the Quran in Arabic. It's my second year now, going into my second year. I wasn't raised knowing how to read in Arabic. So I practice it for about 15 minutes. Then I get on Skype, and I have a Quran teacher for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes usually. And I do, so about an hour a day goes to Quran. As soon as I'm done with that phone, Skype hangs up, and I'm waking up my boys, and I'm getting breakfast ready. This is my day. You know, get them in the bathroom. Okay, brush your teeth, get ready. And while I'm making eggs or making paratha, something for breakfast. And I mean, I have to make real breakfast. They don't just have whatever. They want food.
Yeah.
And I know it's important that they have it. So I'm getting breakfast ready, and everyone's coming out, and we're talking, discussing things with my daughter if she has questions. So we get breakfast ready. Meanwhile, while I was getting my sons ready, my daughter gets on the computer and she starts practicing Quran because her teacher is going to be coming in. I have a private teacher for Quran, Islamic studies, and Arabic.
Awesome.
So 9 o'clock, their teacher comes in. My daughter goes into the room, and as soon as the boys are done, I get online and I'm talking to my team. Like, okay, who's doing what today? Did you get this email? Did you do? Basically, just checking up and make sure everyone's doing what we're supposed to be doing. What are our goals for today? Because new things happen the day before, and so I have to just align it. About 9:30, about 35 minutes after 9:30, I get on the floor and I'm homeschooling my boys. So I've got one of them starting on their topic. I've got the other one I'm reading with, and then I go back and forth to make sure he's writing his subject and he understands. Because my 5-year-old he's finishing first grade, mashallah, and I have to make sure he can read the instructions, he understands, and then I kind of let him work by himself and while I'm doing reading with my son, my 3-year-old. And then I get my 3-year-old on the kindergarten, and he's doing his kindergarten stuff, and I go back with my 5-year-old, and he's reading 3 books to me.
Awesome.
And so I'm going back and forth, right? And so by the time I'm done with those two, my daughter's out of class, and my sons go to Quran and Arabic class. And my 3-year-old, it depends on the day. Some days he does well. Some days he's not ready. he listens, but he, you know, he's 3. So I get them to go out there, and then my daughter comes out, and then she takes a break. Everyone has a snack, and she goes back to her work. She does some more work for Islamic studies, Quran. When my 5-year-old is pretty much done, she goes back in for another lesson with her teacher. So by the time about 12 o'clock, I come on the computer now. I'm on the computer working from about 11-ish till 12:30, and I'm back on the computer working, trying to get some stuff done. And if my sons are bored, then I'm like, okay, well, my 3-year-old starts to play because it's like, you know, time to play for him.
Yeah.
And then when my 5-year-old's done, I'm like, oh, could you do math cards now? And so then he'll teach my 3-year-old how to do math cards. I really have to, and I sit here and listen to making sure that they're doing it right. Yeah, that's great. We're going to have lunch in just a bit, right?
Yeah.
And then I go get lunch ready. We have lunch. And lunch and dinner. Now, this is the biggest thing. Lunch and dinner is usually ready by Sunday. Sunday nights, I have usually everything ready with what I want to eat because I don't like to waste time. And my husband is a cook, so sometimes he comes home early. He does cook dinner. But other times, I just like to be prepared because I don't have time to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So I get lunch ready. It's Adhan time. We pray. Then after prayer, right about now time, we take a half-hour power nap. Everyone's in bed. And
amazing.
We got to get everyone in bed.
Power nap. I mean, that's amazing. I've discovered power naps 4 years ago. And it's just incredible. I mean, 20 minutes for me, and alhamdulillah, works amazing. Can you just tell us more about Pine Apps? Because that's something I want my listeners to read. Because I've been telling people about it. They don't believe me. It does work.
It is powerful, not only for us, but as well for the kids. You know, a lot of times people, especially when kids go to school, they don't get power naps, and then they're all cranky, and they don't want to do their homework. And I'm like, no. I just like, it's time to take a nap. I get all excited. And I mean, it might take them 10 minutes of talking before they go to sleep, but we all sleep next to each other. Yeah. This is how it gets done, okay? I can't put them in their groups, or else it won't happen. So we all sleep next to each other, and about 30, 35 minutes, my alarm goes off. And honestly, sometimes it's maybe 45 minutes. It depends on, you know, on, because I wake up really early and I sleep late, so I just need that energy. Yeah. So I get up and then I'm like, all right, everybody up, we're having fresh juice. And I get really excited. And you can check the mail. And they love to check the mail. Like, they like to look at the ads, you know, and they cut pictures out of the ads, right? And so I get them all excited. So everyone jumps up and they get some fresh juice and they check the mail and they cut the ads. And mommy's going back to work, and then it's, I get them back into working. Okay, what can we do? What are we studying? I get the boys busy with puzzles, or we're doing Molly cards, which is like fact, you know, finding cards. I get them to working together, and my daughter's doing her work. She's got, you know, fifth grade work. She's got history, science, all her different subjects.
Yeah.
And then about 6 o'clock, my goal is let's take everyone goes outside for about an hour. And it depends on the weather. When the weather is cold, we would do different activities. But when the weather is hot, where it's, they're bike riding, they're outside, they're playing, getting socialization.
Do you plan these activities, or do you just think on the spot with them, or?
You know, it depends. Activities, it depends on if it's cold, raining. Yeah, it's going to be something what we have at home. You know, we've got games like Race Me to the Kaaba, you know, and just different things that we do. But yeah. When it's hot, they just want to go to the park. They want to ride their bike. They just want to have something to do. And when it's summer, you know, they go swimming, alhamdulillah, so they're learning how to swim and all that.
Yeah.
It just depends, you know, on what's happening. So as soon as they come back from that, we have dinner. It's Quran time. We all sit together, except my husband, because mind you, he tries to go to the masjid 4 to 5 times to pray at the masjid, alhamdulillah. And then from there, he tries to do what he has to do. He has other stuff to do too,
yeah.
And other work and stuff. And he works later sometimes. And so I don't always depend on him doing everything with me, just because, you know, he's got his other responsibilities.
True.
So I get home. And so about after dinner, it's Quran time. We all come in here for like an hour to an hour and a half, and we practice Quran. So just 30, and sometimes a little bit of just 29, because it just depends on what they're studying in school and classes. We just go over all of that and just really try to listen and memorize. And I have to motivate and inspire them, because I really, that's my most important time of the day is, you know, really Quran and my 5 prayers. When it's time to pray, everyone in the bathroom make wudu. I mean, I had to write, and this is the great thing once you get your kids to read, mashallah,
yeah.
Is I wrote the whole thing on how to make wudu, and they have to read it, my boys, and they make wudu. Because it helps them read, and it takes time away from me. Instead of keeping showing them, they actually can do it themselves, independence. So, and then right after Quran time, I just try to finish some other stuff up, and then I'm with them. You know, we're doing Isha prayer and reading some books, and I'm getting them ready for bed. And then I try to read some productivity time for myself, like some of the newest stuff I read, and I have about 20 minutes of that. And I usually read out loud because my husband's like, I want to listen too. And so I read, he can learn too, alhamdulillah. So it's a win-win, and then it's time for bed.
Alhamdulillah. Wow. MashaAllah. 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 That's incredible. I'm sure if we had an audience right now, there would be standing ovation for you at the moment. But MashaAllah. That's exactly. Very good. That's incredible.
Oh, I didn't get in there, like, when I'm busy working and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I do. I'm working on 2 classes a semester for my bachelor's in Islam, and I'm working. So whatever has to get done, gets done those days. It just depending on, you know, if I have tests, midterms, et cetera, it just kind of gets done.
So do you plan your day beforehand, or do you just...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The night before is the best time that I sit there and I say, what's the most important stuff? And like I said, the 5 salahs, waking up for tajud, reading Quran, those are the most important ingredients in my day. If I don't get those in my day, it's like I had the worst day. Oh, I forgot, I work out too, about 30 minutes besides the exercise with my kids.
Oh,
we do about 30 minutes. I mean, those are little things that I add in. It's not a big deal, but it's important to me. So, but the most important things in my day, every day that has to get done, is tajud, my 5 salahs, my Quran class, and my Quran practice. Those are the 4 most important things that have to get done every day. Everything else kind of goes with the flow, inshallah. I have it in there. It depends on how things are going. I mean, sometimes, like I said, my kids will walk in and go, oh my God, mom. And so I had to learn a technique called how to get your kids to quiet down in 30 seconds or less. I basically came up with that technique.
Can you please say that loud? Because people will be listening at the moment saying, please tell us how.
Well, if you want to know, you got to go to www.muslimshomeschool.com and go. There's an article. Download the article there, inshallah. And you're going to read that article. But basically, I teach you how to 30 seconds quiet your kid down, inshallah. And I did this with my kids, with the neighbor's kids. And then I was like, I'm going to write an article on how other people can do this, inshallah. It's been amazing.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That sounds amazing. I mean, to be honest, that's one of the main ideas behind protecting Muslims. As you said yourself, you mean when you have the tahajjud and the prayers and the Quran, all those things set your life, and that's what,
absolutely.
And everything else falls in place. When you don't have those things, people really forget about. They think, well, how does that help my dunya? But you forget that, you know, we're living Allah's land, we're living under Allah's world. This is Allah's creation, and we follow His path. Things will work out for us. But it's just getting that mix right. Alhamdulillah, JazakAllah Khair, really showed that brilliantly, practically, to all the listeners. So my question then is, what's next for you then? What's next for you, your website, your daughter even as well, in terms of your 8-year-old daughter? She's planning another website maybe?
Alhamdulillah. Well, right now, for myself, it's a couple of things. I'm actually doing, working on an Amazon.com bestseller list campaign, and I'm doing it with my No, I'm Not a Terrorist, and I'm doing some more radio interviews, and just getting myself known, as well as getting myself known in the Muslim community. Alhamdulillah, it's getting, you know, easier and easier, but it's just, you know, when everyone's scattered, it's just harder for them to know you, what you practice, and what you think. So just getting myself noticed in the communities, and to know that what I want to really teach the kids and stuff. But more than anything, it's, you know, obviously my dawah part as well. I mean, getting into the non-Muslim media has been just something different, and I've been struggling with it, because I don't want people to sit there and attack what I'm doing, especially my deen. And one of my mentors, I mean, I have a lot of mentors who are non-Muslim, and the reason for that is because I always want them to show me a perspective from a non-Muslim perspective. Yeah. I always have to see a different view. And one of my mentors told me, he said, Zora, he said, you're the message. He said, because I went in there and I was talking to him, and he said, 20 minutes ago, I didn't like Islam or Muslims. In 20 minutes, you made me like Islam and Muslims. He said, so you're the message. Who cares if they attack you? We got to get you on media. We got to get you on TV. We got to show them that what you're saying. And so I sat there and I said, Alhamdulillah, exactly, you know, Alhamdulillah, Allah, I mean, in that Allah has given me this ability. So exactly what he said, why I shouldn't be afraid of anything. I mean, everyone's gotten attacked. The Prophet ﷺ got attacked. All the prophets have been attacked.
Yeah.
And what happened when Musa ﷺ told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, look, my people are talking bad about me. Allah said, they talk bad about me, forget you.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, how can that not be possible for me?
Yeah.
So I kind of went over my ego. I think it was an ego thing, not wanting to be in that perspective. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can. And I always say actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have critics, but I'm hoping that I inspire and motivate more people than have the critics. Inshallah. That's my goal.
You brought up amazing points. I'm going to ask you about this. Mentors. Do you think it's vital to have mentors?
Yeah, so my goodness, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I mean, who's our mentors for Islam? We have to think about it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would we know anything? He's like, you know, our coach, our mentor, even though he's not literally here, but his life, how he was, he's what taught us. And then we go into looking at the Sahaba and all the greatest people that followed his example. They were all our mentors and our coaches, you know, and all the prophets, peace be upon them. And then you look at, okay, I need mentors for dunya too, to help me plan this life to make it most effective for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then you find mentors that are going to help you get to where you want to go at a faster rate, to cut years off what you have to do.
So
why not?
How do you find mentors then? How would you find mentors?
I do it different ways. It depends on what I'm doing. Like, for example, I wanted to get into the market of speaking. So I went and I looked at all the best speakers, and then I went to their seminars and events. I told you, I've invested more than $120,000 in my education.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go and I'll meet them. I'll see them and I'll say, okay, is this person really for me? No. And I'll look at their ethics, their morals, their values. And then I also look at what can they really teach me.
Yeah.
And so I just recently had a day with one of my mentors, and my daughter went with me, because I always take her on my business trips, because obviously she's a, you know, business girl now, and so she's always listening and learning, alhamdulillah. She goes to these seminars and she takes notes, and she's the youngest one there, mashallah, and they love her. They're like, oh my God, you know, alhamdulillah. So when we went there, it was a 6-hour event. I paid basically $15,000 for 6 hours of a mentor's time.
Yeah, wow.
And I sat there, and all I did was pick his brain. And his sister was laughing, because his sister works for him, and she was there. And she said, I don't think anyone's picked his brain as much as you have. And I was like, I know what I want, alhamdulillah. I know what you got, and now I want to connect the dots. Where can I get from here to here, so that inshallah, this is the most productive 6 hours that I paid for? Because obviously, I paid a lot of money, and I want to make sure that I get what I want out of it. And it was. He just took me... He basically cut like 2 years of my life into different ways, because for 2 years I've been trying some of these methods and techniques and I could not figure it out. And when I went to him in that one day, I figured it all out, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So what about people say, well, you can read books maybe or something. Do they think that works?
Of course, reading books is the first step. Listening to CDs is the second step. But having one-on-one coaching with someone who's been there, done that, it's a total different stuff. Like one of the things I always tell people, I said, for my own kids, I want my kids to graduate high school at the age of 14, inshallah, be a hafiz of Quran, and be ready to get their bachelor's, their first bachelor's in Islam, inshallah, to have a really good foundation,
yeah.
Right? I said, well, I thought, who's done what I'm doing? Not a whole lot of people. They've got the hafiz of Quran, alhamdulillah, but yeah. What about graduating high school? So what I did was I found this Christian guy who was homeschooling, and his wife died when... They had six kids. His wife died, I think, when their youngest was... I mean, they were young kids. When the oldest was like 10, 11 years old, yeah. Right? He, by himself, got all six of his kids to graduate at the age of 14.
MashaAllah.
And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to buy his whole home study guide. And I mean, of course, there's a lot of things I don't agree with. But I bought the rest of it to learn what did he do that was most effective in getting my kids to graduate at 14, inshallah.
Mm.
And so I kind of, and of course, I don't do everything that he does. I mean, because each one of my kids learn a different style.
Yeah.
But it was the idea, how can I do it? And now what's my plan to get it achieved, inshallah? And that's kind of how I went from one thing to the next. And is by having these people to look up to and learn from. And I tell people, I said, you know, people always say, Azor, can I have an hour of your time? I'm like, you don't understand. An hour of my time is a lot. Just like, it literally is, unless it's going to be beneficial to everyone, a lot more people than one person. I'm like, you got to go to the sheikh in your community or, you know, because this is, it's like me writing books. I mean, I just cranked out 5 books, alhamdulillah, in about 5 months.
MashaAllah.
And this is while I'm doing everything else. So I said, imagine an hour of my time is like writing almost a chapter.
Yeah. MashaAllah, Zahra, it's incredible talking to you. I mean, I think I could go on for ages. I'm sure a lot of questions will be flying in to ask you more about this. Maybe if you just tell us more about your website or how they can get in touch with you, or maybe speaking up, what do you do for speaking, where you're going next. I mean, I'm sure our listeners will be interested to learn more about that.
Okay, well, with my websites, if you don't mind, would you mind putting a link underneath here, just all the different websites, that way in case anyone's interested, inshallah, they can look. But really, my speaking's pretty open. I mean, I'm kind of restricted in the sense that I don't want to do it as much as, you know, before, just because, like I said, I mean, if there's the bigger the group, the better it is for me, inshallah, just because I want to be able to impact more.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to, inshallah, I have a possible coaching client in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so, inshallah, I'm hoping to actually come out to the UK and be able to partner up with some of the communities and be able to actually bring my knowledge and advice and my books out there and share it with the Muslims in the UK. Because I have a lot of people who bought it from the UK, but I really want to be able to touch them. Because when the sisters can see this, when they can see another woman is doing this, I'm hoping that they say, I can do this.
Yes.
I can do this. And the same thing when the kids are seeing it. So when these kids see my daughter doing something like this, and I'm looking at the teens and I'm like, and you can't do it? Come on. I mean, she's 8. You know, and they're like, yeah, I can do this. So my whole goal is to build their confidence, their self-esteem. And at the end, inshallah, if they wanted to be personally coached by me, that's, you know, always on a personal level. I can tell them what I can do for them on a personal basis. But one of the biggest things, inshallah, and I'll let you know when this is ready, but this is probably going to be another 3 weeks from now. One of the things I wanted to do was do a book and have 14 other people with me that have never been an author and get them to write a chapter in the book with me, make them an author, inshallah.
Allah, that's and a really brilliant idea.
Yeah, so this way now they're able to leave a legacy. But of course, this is a coaching kind of situation, so they do have to invest in themselves. But I'm going to teach them basically how they can make their investment back plus more when they're done with me, inshallah.
Brilliant.
So I'm saying you invest 4 hours with me, but we'll get your book out in 60 days. You're an author. You could do all the stuff with your book, inshallah. And you invested so much money. And now, if you listen to me and you follow my step, you'll make like 10 times more than what you invested in me, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Brilliant, brilliant. Sister Dora, is there any last advice or thoughts for all the productive Muslims out there or people hoping to replicate your success?
I would say have a starting point. Have a starting point and have the end in mind. If you want to please Allah, then have something bigger than yourself. You know, all of these goals that I told you, all of this, you know, wanting, one of my biggest goals is to become the richest Muslim woman in my time, inshallah, inshallah. And the only purpose for that is to be able to build hospitals, masjids, schools, orphanages all over the world. That's really my passion in life, to be able to do that. But I had to find a way to earn the money to do it. And I had to find it in the halal way. So if you have a goal and you have a passion, stick with it, go after it, make it happen. Don't watch it. And the most important thing I'll leave you with is there are three types of people in this world: people who watch things happen, people who make things happen, and people who wonder what happened. These brilliant. Are the three types. Either you're watching someone do it and you're like, yeah, I know this person and they wrote a book and they did this, yeah, I know them, but you're just watching them. Or you're making it happen yourself, like Bill Gates and all these other people who are actually doing it themselves. Or you don't even know how it came out. You're like, huh, how did that light bulb come out? How did the computer get invented? You're just always wondering, like, amazing. How did that happen? You have no idea of the process. So I always tell people, 5% of the world is making things happen. Only 5%. 80% is watching it happen. And actually, no, I'm sorry, 80%, yeah, 80% is wondering what happened. No, 80% is wondering what happened. Yeah. And 15% is watching it. They're the closest to the 5%.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, which category do you want to be in? Which category do you want to be in? Do you want to watch it happen? Do you want to wonder what happened? Or do you want to make it happen, inshallah?
Zakallah, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. I'm sure our listeners will be delighted to what they heard. And I'm sure they'll be inspired, inshallah, with what you said. And just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for the interview. Jazakallah khair.
Wa yakum, no problem. And inshallah, I hope that they do learn something. And please do email me if you have any great thoughts or even criticisms, because I'd love to hear it and see how I can make this better, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam.